It's a pleasure and an honor to have you here. Living legend, Newark native, tap dancer extraordinaire, Tony winning, and now a teacher here in Newark. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We understand that you're teaching about 40 students at NJPAC in this new arts collaboration called A Coltrane Story. Explain to us a little bit about what exactly that is and how it came to fruition.
Well, it's entitled A Coltrane Story or something along those lines. The idea came from last year we did a show called Club Denim, and there was a gentleman in the band named Jordan who was the saxophonist or the saxophonist, and I began to establish a relationship with him. I told him I was thinking about doing the John Coltrane story or a John Coltrane story, and if he would want to play the lead role, because I just fell in love with his approach and just sound on his instrument. I would invite him on certain gigs, and we just, you know, just to further the relationship. And then, unfortunately, he transitioned all of a sudden by fate, and I was sort of lost for a while, but I was then reminded to go forth. And I was also reminded to do the show because we are celebrating 50 years of John Coltrane. The timing is perfect, and it's a really good show. I'm very proud of the work and energy that these wonderful youth and children bring into the room. They are extraordinary performers. I believe it would be a very not only entertaining evening, but you might get a little education.
How did you select the children that you chose to work with? I can imagine it's a very competitive for these kids to want to all be involved in this. How did you choose?
Well, New Jersey Performing Arts Center, they set up the audition, and anyone, you know, it's an open call. They put the word out and the kids respond. The thing about me, and I guess you can blame my mother for this, I'm an improvisationalist. So when people come into the room for the audition, I don't necessarily have the role in mind for them. They allow me, if you will, to understand what role they should play. They invent the role. I mean, we knew for this show, we knew that we wanted like a Miles Davis character, a Thelonious Monk character, a Dizzy Gillespie character, a John Coltrane character. We wanted an Alice Coltrane character. We wanted a Naima Coltrane character. But then all of the other characters sort of invented themselves as they came into the room. So how we choose is through the plethora of talent that comes in the room, because I don't think too much of what they say they are. I think about what I see they can be.
As a kid that grew up in Newark and as a Newark native, why is it so important for you to do this with these other students from Newark? And why is it that you think Newark produces so much talent when it comes to the arts?
Oh, man, I think Newark is like the ultimate place, you know, for creativity. And I say that because there's everything in Newark. Newark is not just rich in a sense. Newark is not just poverty in a sense. It's everything. It's not only through the arts, but just through certain families. And there are a lot of people, a lot of smart people, a lot of talented people that come from Newark. We have this strong foundation. It's like the rule of thumb. It's like the rule of family. There's the grandmother. There's the church. There's the mother. There's the father. Then there's this out uncle. I think like Newark has like everything, but it starts with the family. A lot of our families share the same values when it comes to wanting the best for our children, whether that's, you know, wanting them to be the mayor of the city, wanting them to be the next great doctor, or, you know, some type of physician, or again, the next talented, the next musician, the next best dancer. We as the family or a family of Newark, again, we only want the best for our children. the opportunities are here in Newark, even though certain places and surrounding areas are taking the arts and education away from the kids. I think it's important that we applaud and acknowledge these institutions that maintain their commitment to the arts. And I think it's embarrassing for the other institutions and schools who are taking away this opportunity for the kids. We are nowhere. We are nothing. We don't exist without the arts, without music. We don't exist without someone blowing that horn, or someone expressing themselves through vocals, or someone expressing themselves through art, or through painting, through verbiage. In my opinion, the world was created and built around arts.
What can people expect when they come and experience a Coltrane story or something along those lines? What in your heart and soul do you want people to walk away with when they leave the audience that night?
Everything I've done in my life, I think maybe aside from Sesame Street, has been risks and taking risks. So I, you know, decided to just take a risk in doing the John Coltrane story. Anyone who knows or is familiar with the man John Coltrane, one might know that it wasn't an easy journey. So I've taken advantage of this platform or this opportunity to share some of those moments and some of those pictures from his journey, not only as a human being, but as the fine musician and human that this guy was and remains to some of us. People always say impact on music, but for me, his life, you know, just his journey. We all have these journeys that we go on. I'm the type of person where I become a fan of the person. I'm not necessarily just a fan of the music. Like, I'm a fan of the person. So if this person puts out a sort of a weird or obscure kind of album, well, I don't say, well, I'm not a fan anymore, because I'm on the journey with the man or with whomever I'm a fan of. So again, with John Coltrane, I became a fan not only of his music contributions in that way, but just of him as a man. And I look at John Coltrane as if he was some sort of Gandhi or Dalai Lama, or, you know, one who, again, has to go through turmoil and transition in order to become. And whatever the case is, I am so happy to have been afforded the opportunity to know his music and to get to know him and to now be able to celebrate him through the eyes of the young adults.
Here at WBGO, of course, are no stranger to John Coltrane or jazz in general. Can you tell us a little bit about what role jazz has played in your incredible career thus far and what influence it's had on your work?
I like to call it the free music, because I heard some of the cats refer to it as that. But in certain cases, we can call it jazz. But the music has been in my family, it's been in my veins, my blood, ever since I can remember. I think since my first breath, you know, my mother tells a story about how she would be sitting at the typewriter and I would be in her belly chasing the typewriter, going from side to side in these rhythmical patterns. But, you know, my family, my grandmother was a minister of music. My grandfather was a musician. My mother, as you know, is a singer and musician. So music has always been in my life. Once I got turned on, you know, I was born 73, so my mother had everything playing in the house, mainly gospel, and then funk music, disco music, from Roberta Flack to Donny Hathaway to Luther Vandross to Lola Falana. We were surrounded by everything. My mother made sure of that. And then when I started to play the drums, I immediately started playing you know, my first tune was like A-Train and like Caravan and like in a sentimental mood. I'm 7 years old playing Caravan. I'm very young listening to like Duke Ellington and Count Basie and Jelly Roll Morton and people like that. So I don't remember not knowing about music. I don't remember not seeing everything and giving it a characteristic. And I think that is because of my musical influence. Everything is rhythm. Everything has rhythm. Everything. Everything that I see is rhythm. I dream in stereo.
How does that translate into your choreography?
At this point, in my dance, through my dancing, it's, you know, I can tap dance and I can present something nice, but I'm more now into the sounds and the colors and the shape of the music, which allows my approach to be a little different. You know, tap dancing is my voice. It has become my way of life. It is my expression. So wherever I am and whenever I am, at whatever point I am in my life, that's what's going to come across. You know, early on, you know, when I was a teenager, I was listening to a lot of hardcore rap music. So, you know, that's what the dance was. And then as I matured and continued to mature as a young man, and I get into other studies, I get into other areas of spirituality, and that is what my dance is now.
What do you have next on your agenda besides this Coltrane story or something along those lines? You're still very intertwined with NJ Pack. Do you see yourself doing this for the foreseeable future, being a mentor and a teacher to these students that desperately need arts in their lives?
Well, first of all, when my career is over, then I am here no longer in the physical presence. My life is my career. I can't retire from living. That's called transitioning. So as long as I am here and able to acknowledge my creator and giving me the ability to walk, talk, breathe, taste, feel, that will only fuel my ability to teach, learn, and acknowledge the youth or whatever generation there is to be acknowledged. I want to continue to inspire, again, not only the youth, but people of all walks, people of all ages, you know, through my dance, through my artistic contributions. And hopefully, you know, it'll never end.
It's a living legend here. Broadway legend, Tony Award winning, Newark native, and all around badass dancer and choreographer, Savion Glover. Thank you so much for being here.
And congratulations to WBGO. All the best to you. I continue to listen and support you all, and I applaud you for your contributions as well.
Thank you so much, and we'll continue to support you as well. I know I will personally be there to witness a Coltrane story or something along those lines. Thank you so much.
Thank you.